Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 10. You got your iPhone or whatever else? What can you turn to? Your iPhone, the Bible, your iPad, your what? Smartphone. I was listening to a preacher the other day. He said, well, either take your Bible or your smartphone, whichever one you have, and look this up. So I guess that's a new thing. Don't have to carry your Bible. You can just carry it in your pocket. Pardon?
Electronic device.
Whatever electronic device you got. What did you think about something? How many think your life is pretty busy now? How many just have nothing to do? How many of you have ever considered, and I was talking to Jerry the other day, and then I'm preaching on healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, cleansing the lepers. But how many have ever asked God for the gift of healing? How many really, really want it? Really? You sure? How many like people lined up in front of your house to get healed? How many people would like to be in a restaurant eating with your wife and having somebody come over and say, will you pray for my so-and-so? How many of you would like to have absolutely no free time because people know you have the gift? And they're going to come see you. Is that okay? Can I tell you something? If you don't want to be busy, don't ask God for gifts. Hello? You say, oh, now you're telling me don't ask God for something. I'm not doing that. How many are really, and my question, the bottom question is, how many of you are really interested in seeing the kingdom of God come in the fullness? I listen every once in a while to some news. And I know today is the day that Bill O'Reilly says everybody to tell their preacher to tell them to write to Congress and Mr. Obama and tell them to do something about ISIS. Understand that, so I told you. But I think there's a different thing we need to do with all these jihad groups and all the ISIS groups and all the things that are happening in the world, all the terrorism. Somehow and some way we need to hear from God to introduce not a religious Jesus to them, but the real Jesus. They look at the church that supposedly is Jesus, or they look at other Christians. And so as we look at them, they say, well, I don't want that. And so because people reject Christ and serve another God, we feel, well, we got to kill them. But there's another answer. I am absolutely appalled at what I see ISIS doing. 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians were beheaded. More than 40 people were burned alive. And it makes me sick. But there's an answer besides eliminating them. I know that's not popular. I know people will say, well, that preacher, he's nuts. Somehow, we need to at least pray, minimum, at least pray that they'll have a visitation of the Holy Spirit. Can we do that? Because you know what's happening? Muslims hate Christians to a degree, and Christians are starting to hate Muslim fringe groups that are killing people. And where's the connection? The connection is love of Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't want to see someone beheaded. I don't want to see someone burned. But I'm not really interested in having 50 or 60 or 80,000 people just eliminated when there's another answer. I understand that's not the popular view in America right now. Here's what Jesus told his disciples. Chapter 10 of Matthew. And when he had called his 12 disciples in verse 1 to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Skip down with me to verse number 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. How many have ever thought about the will of God? What's God's will for my life? What are we usually thinking about? Occupation? Should I go to college? Should I get married? Where should I live? Should I be a doctor, a dentist, or a farmer? Yes. So wherever God's leading you, like Bill Johnson said, wherever you go, whatever you're doing, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Do the work of the Lord. Now, I can hear minds going right now saying, we can't do that. How do you expect me to do it? The same way that the disciples did it. Through the power from God. The kingdom of heaven has come, Jesus told them. Go and tell the people the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven has come. It's at hand. You know, it's really interesting. I just sat down and wrote some verses down about the kingdom. There's one thing very interesting about a kingdom. Don't miss this deep point. Look at me. To be a kingdom, you must have a king. Hello? Who's our ruling authority? No, it's not him. He's in Washington, D.C. Who's our ruling authority? Jesus. So you can't have a kingdom without a king. Seems like I read somewhere that Jesus Christ had a name written on his garments that said, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are not in a spiritual democracy. We're in a theocracy, the rule of God. Hello? We don't vote on the Bible. The Bible's truth, the Bible's fact, and that's our guidelines, and that's where we get our commission, from the Word of God. But Jesus was very interested in the fact that people knew that the kingdom was here. Can I show you? Mark chapter 1, 14 and 15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Not only is there a kingdom, but there's a gospel of the kingdom. There's a gospel we preach. It's all about Jesus. Did the cold air just get in here and you froze? Hello, just checking. Better turn the heat up. Luke chapter 10, verse number 9. And heal the sick, and then say to them, the kingdom of God has come to you. You see, something we don't realize. The kingdom of God just didn't sneak in and nobody knew about it. The kingdom of God was demonstrated through the people who were part of the kingdom. Is that an amen or is that, I can't believe he's preaching this. That's an amen, okay. Luke chapter 17, 20 and 21. Listen to this now. The kingdom of God does not come with observation. That's where the disciples missed it. How many realize the disciples were looking for the kingdom of God? They wanted Jesus to establish an earthly kingdom. You can go to Acts chapter 1. Is this at this time will you restore your kingdom? The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. You walk around with the kingdom of God in your life. How about Romans 14, 17? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There will be a time when there's an earthly kingdom, okay? Revelation 19 kicks that off, and the heavens opened, and I saw the man on a white horse, sword coming in his mouth. And he had a robe dipped in blood, and on his robe was the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming to set a kingdom. You can read about the Battle of Armageddon and what happens in Zechariah 14. There is a kingdom. But right now, that kingdom of God is within us, and that kingdom of God comes with a demonstration of this Holy Spirit and power. We okay? Let me ask you a question. How many of you got to demonstrate that kingdom this week? And so Jesus tells his disciples to go tell the world, the Jewish people at that time, it wasn't yet the time of the Gentiles, we're in that time now, that the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he said, this is how I want you to demonstrate it, basically. I want you to cast out demons. I want you to heal the sick. I want you to raise the dead. And I want you to cleanse the lepers. You think about that, you say, boy, that was pretty good. But we need to understand that this kingdom is supernatural. Everything about God is supernatural. So our natural doesn't usher in God's kingdom. It's God's supernatural in us that demonstrates a kingdom, brings people in the kingdom, and give people an understanding of a magnificent God who has called them and loves them. Do you realize that commission from Jesus to his disciples, to the 70, and to us is our mission? How many were ever in the military? Did the military have a commission? And did the military have a mission? Yeah. And so we can do all the other things. We can have wonderful worship times. We can give offerings. We can assemble. We can pat one another on the back. We can hug people. We can tell them we love them. We can become a family and still miss the mission. Because Jesus' compassion and the grace that's given to us and the love that is given to us is called and challenged us, has called us and challenged us to have more than just services. How many have ever seen somebody hurting? Just walk by and say, that's too bad? Feel sorry for you? How many have ever had a problem you just need somebody to share with? What do? Just say, good luck, I'm not available? We miss things. And I've done it. We miss things when we don't ask God for answers to people's situation and step in with an answer to assist them to be part of the kingdom. It's not about the ministry that God has given me. It's not about Christian Outreach Center. It's not about the people sitting in the pews or nice, comfortable chairs. It's about being obedient to the commission given us by Jesus Christ, which is our mission. It's about taking risks. Remember the love message last week? Love means I'm willing to get hurt. Love means I'm willing to get involved. I am frustrated at times, not with people. I'm frustrated at times with me. Hello? I'm frustrated with me. I walk by things I should be stopping and, well, I don't want to put my nose in somebody else's business. Where's that in the Bible? How many realize God put his nose in a lot, Jesus put his nose in a lot of businesses that he wasn't involved in? Amen? Wasn't being nosy. Four guys, I read it this morning, four guys brought a guy up paralytic and took the roof off and dropped him down, and Jesus looked at him and said, your sins are forgiven. They didn't bring him there because he had sins. Hello? You think that? Jesus wanted to demonstrate something beyond healing, and that is the Son of Man has the right and the power to forgive sins. He still does. What about this one? Do you ever read it and your mind just goes, buzz, tilt? What's happening when the computer shuts down? What do they call that? Yeah. Anyway, I'm reading that one day and I'm thinking about, yeah, Jesus, how come the Pharisees fast and your servants don't fast? Your disciples don't fast. And he said, man, you know you can't put new wine into old wine bottles. Huh? You can't sew a piece of old garment on a new one. But the time is coming when they'll fast. They're not going to fast when the bridegroom's still here. I thought, where'd all that come from? Because no one likes the new wine because they always say the old is better. How many has a handle on that? Do you ever get the grips on that? I kind of think I know what he's saying. They're going to look at the law and grace and say, well, we like law better, but maybe that's not it. Maybe I missed it way over my head and out for lunch. But it seems, when I look at a lot of people, they like some legal quote instead of some grace. How many of you like freedom? I like the freedom of grace more than the bondage of the law. And the Bible calls it bondage. Anyway, Jesus stepped into places that we would never go. How about this? He's walking down, he has a woman touch his garment, she's healed. You know, he wasn't even there for that woman. He was going to raise or pray for a daughter of a rich ruler that was sick. And all of a sudden, she comes up behind him and touches his garment in a mob, and he looks and says, who touched me? And to me, Peter finally had a right answer. He said, what do you mean, who touched me? Who touched you? Look at all these people. And Jesus said something that's so unique. He says, somebody touched me, basically, I'm going to paraphrase it, with enough faith to draw the power out of me. Right? They touched me with enough power that I knew that virtue in the King James Version has left me. And then he turns and looks at the woman and said, you touch me. Because she knew if she touched him, she'd be healed. And so we get into some of this stuff and we look at it and we try to comprehend it. We try to understand it. And then we realize Jesus never said you understand. He just said you have to do. Isn't that right? How many of you understand God? How many of you understand him? How many understand the gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Well, I got a handle on that. I do. How did we get to a God that opened up the earth and swallowed people to a God who says when they wanted to call down fire on a Samaritan city, what spirit do you think you are? There's a gap there someplace. There's something missing. So therefore, if I don't read the Old Testament, I don't have to try to understand it. No. So here we are. And he says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers. Do you ever stop and ask why? What's up, Lord? As I was sitting and reading this morning and trying to stay warm, the church wasn't very warm at 6:30 this morning or whatever time I got here. Something clicked. What was the Lord's Prayer? Say the first four lines for me. Thy kingdom come, thy what? Where? Isn't it interesting you didn't say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven as it is on earth? He didn't say that. He said on earth as it is in heaven. So how are we going to get a sin-infested earth to have the atmosphere and the will of the kingdom of God in heaven? Yeah, you're going to have to take it. You're going to have to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, raise the dead. We become so used and comfortable to the atmosphere of heaven that we don't, I mean the atmosphere of earth that we don't realize it. It's almost like the atmosphere of hell. I know that's quite a statement. And so God says, I want to change the atmosphere. I want to change the mindset of people on earth. I want people who are called my people to have a renewed mind, where whoever I send to them and wherever I send them accomplish my purpose. That's why we have testimonies, isn't it, Kirk? You know, when I was doing a lot of traveling, I'd have people come to me and say, well, you shouldn't share that because you're just drawing attention to yourself. That's not been my purpose. But this morning that I was thinking about that and thinking about talking about miracles and talking about healings and talking about the power of God, I realized when the 70 came back, they didn't say, oh, it was a good service. They said, even the demons were subject to us. And they were rejoicing. And Jesus told them, don't just rejoice in that, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Come on, folks, we have a purpose and a reason to be rejoicing and to be testifying. The one thing that the devil wants you to do is see God do something and then shut up about it. And so Jesus not only told them to do it, and I'm going to close with this, but he demonstrated it. Read the first four or five chapters of Mark just for something to do. Do you realize in the first two chapters of Mark, the word immediately is used at least 10 times? I think it's 7 times in the first chapter. Immediately Jesus did that. Immediately that happened. Immediately. And so in Mark chapter 1, the demon-possessed man came. He was delivered. A leper came. He was delivered. In Mark 2, it continues on and on and on. In Mark 5, he heals or raises the girl from the dead. Immediately. Now, there are times, and I understand there were times, it also says in there that Jesus came to the blind man and he asked him if you can see. He says, I see men like trees walking, and Jesus touched him again. I believe in progressive healings. But there's also things that happened immediately. right away. Boom. It's done. So I close with a question. How many of us believes that we need this? How many of us are willing to let somebody else do it? How many of us are willing to be the ones? Whatever you're doing as an occupation, it never did eliminate you from healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, and cleansing the leper. Do you have an understanding that some of you are working with people who are oppressed by the devil? They need freedom. Hello. I had a man walk in my office last week. Stopped in and said, we were talking, he said, do you think I'm demon possessed? And I said, no, but I think you're oppressed by the devil. Hello? When people are losing their temper for no reason, anybody know what I'm talking about? When things just continually make us angry and unforgiving and bitter, there's a problem. There's a problem. The issue is not, can a Christian have a demon? The issue is, can a demon have a Christian? And Satan knows what buttons to push to get you in a place where your very character and nature changes. And let's look at it. How many times did God tell us to worry? Huh? How many times? Let me ask you a question. And I'm just throwing stuff at you. I know I should be done, but I'm going to get myself in a little bit of hot water here. How many times does God tell you to go to bed just absolutely bound by fear? Worry is not from God. No kind of worry. None. That's from the, sure not from God. We'll talk ourselves into it sometimes. If you're concerned about somebody, you pray for them and leave it with God. Okay, let's just be honest. How many times has worries ever helped anything? Man, I went to bed and I worried all night and praise God, I got up in the morning and everything changed. Hey? Are there times that the devil tries to have us worry? Of course there are. You know why? Because it takes your mind off what God can do. Got to listen to last week's message. There's options. There's options. You can either trust God or you can worry about it. Hello? I know. I should have quit. I'm in a mess. Somebody said, boy, if I don't worry about my kids, they're going to be in a lot of trouble. How does that stop your kids from getting in trouble? Okay. But there's a lot of people that don't know this. There's a lot of people out there who need bondages broken. There are people that got used to living in fear and in worry and in anger and in unforgiveness and in bitterness. Their whole lives are wrapped up in it. Can I tell you something? There is no one who ever succeeded in counseling a demon. Hello? Oh, we'll give them some lithium and we'll give them some of this and we'll give them some of that. Pardon?
Hello?
Just two? I'm really doing good. Hello? But we come to a place where we have to realize he never told us to just feel sorry for people or sympathize with them. He told us to free them. And within us, he's given us the power. He's given us the authority. You have been commissioned by God to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and cleanse a leper. You've been commissioned by God. Don't let somebody talk you out of it. It's like I was listening to Robbie the other day, Robbie Zacharias, and he was at this meeting and somebody stood up and said, "There are no absolutes." And Robbie looked at him and said, "Is that absolute? Is that absolutely true?" There are some absolutes with Jesus. We heal the sick, we raise the dead, we cleanse a leper, we cast out demons. And that enables the kingdom of God to come to some people's lives. We have to get rid of the mindset that some people are just called to sit in the pew. We have to get beyond the mindset, I'm unworthy to do anything for God. We all were. We have to get beyond the mindset that that's just for preachers and evangelists. Seems like some fishermen did it, as far as I'm concerned. Then we get beyond the mindset that really says it's just not for me. Because I don't want to do it. We okay? Yeah. I want my life to be different. I want this church to be a place that makes a difference. And I want this community to know that Jesus is alive and well. His people anointed and touched by Jesus, who's empowered and on fire. Glorifying his name. I want more for you, and I want more for me. I appreciate where you are. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. But I want us to know, as long as we're here, there's still more. Not some kind of game. It's not some kind of numbers thing. Let's fill the church up so we have this or we have that. Let's take what we have and use it to glorify God around us and in here. And never forget your commission.